Hello and welcome to the Grace Hour Show, a Christian program that takes a dive into our daily challenges and helps us learn our faith in a practical way. My name is Liz Robbins, and I'm joined by my husband, Pastor Roger Robbins. Today, we're going to have a great show. We're going to be... Hi.
Hey, hi. I was just messing with you there. I don't know why I'm in that mood. I was in the zone.
Let's talk about our topic. So this week, we're talking about cross-cultural Christianity.
Yes.
And we get to talk about, more specifically, how to raise culturally aware kids, how to have a culturally aware family, which we love, where we were glad to be chosen to do this, even though it's not our usual Monday slot, because it's something near and dear to us. We've taken our kids overseas, lived overseas for a good portion of their lives. And so we were kind of joking that we were like, we kind of just forced them to be aware of other cultures because we took them out of their own and plopped them into another one. But anyway,
I mean, it's a great way to do it.
It is one way to do it.
I mean, they don't really have a choice,
they don't have a choice. So, we want to spend some time first just kind of considering what culture is. And I think for some listeners, maybe you haven't spent a lot of time thinking about culture. Maybe you have. But just to think about what it is and then look at it kind of from a scriptural perspective, just as believers, how we should view culture and how we can apply that in family life, how we teach and speak to our children about other people's cultures and how to view just the world, really. So it's going to be good.
Yeah. Well, we could go a couple different ways. Maybe the first just touching on and defining culture, right?
Yeah.
Culture is like the fiber that makes up the nations of the world through language, through land, through climate, through their leaders, their people. Their history, and it all creates a unique flavor. And when we come across it, for one culture to come across another culture, it's really amazing. And it's quite enlightening. It makes you curious. Like, have you ever smelt that smell before? You know, have you ever tasted that flavor before? Right? Like, you can remember, I think in America, for us, we're a melting pot. Or consider ourselves a melting pot. And it's not so foreign to us to think of all these other nations because we ourselves come from or were foreigners coming to a land that had its own people. So as we look at it today in the 21st century, you know, like we kind of look at like all the foreign restaurants and we visit them and we're like going to be enlightened by their food and culturally aware by, you know, who is there and how do they speak and how is the restaurant decorated and their children are playing in the back in the kitchen. And we kind of like get a little taste of it. And I think that's kind of as far as it goes, perhaps, or maybe it's like someone you've come across in your time in school or the place in which you were raised. It has a minority group, like a certain nationality has come into your town, right? And has made you aware.
Yeah.
However, when God gave us the beautiful gift of children, and we were saying before that the show started, that like really the first culture that we see formed is the one that God gave to Adam and Eve, right? That they would start their own family. Hmm. And really that family sphere, that little circle where there was like mom, dad, and children was a culture, and a culture was born, you know, a way of life, a language, a people, a leader, right? A land, a history.
Yeah.
And so raising children, because they are not aware, right? Like they are not aware yet. They're just learning about who is dad and what are his roles and responsibilities? Who is mom and what does she do and what are her roles and responsibilities? Why do they talk this way? Why do they eat this way? What, you know what I mean? Like on and on, right?
Yeah.
So when you look at it that way, you can see that if I can understand the culture that happens within the family and why it's so important, I can then see and understand a little bit more about the cultures outside of me and how they're very similar to ours, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I think that's one of the things that we experienced when we went abroad, there were a lot of things that were quite different on how we raise our children or, like fed them, put them to bed, you know, like one was like staying up till like 2 a.m. We were like 7 sharp. We thought it was so different. But then there were many things that we saw that were fundamentally like, this family is a unit and it's so important. And their culture is very similar to ours. Mom loves dad, dad loves mom. And there's a responsibility happening and an honor and like a real camaraderie happening. And in that little team, you could say, is a culture forming. And, you know, like that's maybe where we want to start. Like if we go outside of it too much and kind of like point out all the other cultures and like why we're so different, where would that lead us? Right. When we're trying to, our subject is talking about making our children or helping our children. How can we do that in our sphere?
Well, I think it's also that kids are, like you were saying, kids are born into a family and they're born into that little mini culture that is that family that's within like a broader culture,
yeah,
that country or that part of the country, whatever it is. And I like to use the word flavor actually, because I feel like even within a country, I mean, certainly in America, we have many different cultures. We're multicultural, and yet we do also have certain things that, you know, are American, you could say, but there's like a flavor to every house, yeah, almost, you know, I think. And when you're kids, you know, yours so well. And right, it's like, maybe when you're getting a little older, you go over to someone else's house for dinner
and you're like, they do it differently.
And you're like, oh, this is different.
You know? How they cook their rice.
I remember that happening. I went to a friend's house, and my house, we have more of an Italian flavor. Mm-hmm. And so the food is, there's a lot of food and it's put in the middle of the table and everybody serves themselves and passes things around. And I went to my friend's house and they were served portions,
yes,
and just put it in front of them. And it was like just an amount of each one. And there wasn't more food to take. And I thought, God, okay, this is different, you know? So I think I just like when we talk about kids and culture, just recognizing what you just said, like we have a culture and there's lots of other ones, and getting into conversations with your kids where you kind of notice and point out things in your culture. And I think that if you as parents, you know, if you haven't already started to be aware that you are operating within your culture, you make decisions based on it, you plan right, traditions based on it, you have values and beliefs and customs that are culture, you know, if you aren't thinking that way, kind of critically thinking about your own culture, there's no way you're going to raise kids that are in any way able to do that. So that's, I think, the first step, right?
Yeah.
Is like kind of going through this process as parents.
And really like we're showing our kids like, hey, we got our culture. This is who we are.
Yeah. And it's not a negative, like to point out, because I think as Christians, one temptation could be that we would point out like negative things.
Yes.
Like we, you know, in America, we do this, they do it this way and we don't like that. And I think that, especially because we've left our own culture and lived in another culture, a Muslim culture, an Eastern culture for the years that we did, we got good at finding things that we liked in the culture, enjoying the culture, but also like kind of putting it in its place.
Yes.
Like we don't have to take on and adopt all of this, but we can be aware of it. We can appreciate it. We can be curious about it. And we can be critical of it also. So yes. I wanted to bring up that word. Not again, it sounds negative, but I'm thinking about it in like the term of like critical thinking.
Yes.
Where you're able to like kind of look at something, hold it away from you a little bit and like take a look at it. And I think, you know, we were born into an American culture, different flavors within our families.
Yeah.
But I think it's really healthy to kind of hold it away from you and try to get a look at it.
Right.
You know?
So, and I think in before the show, we talked about, we threw in the word or the phrase worldview, but just to state this, that we're, you know, that we're talking, we're speaking to Christians and the Christian, our Christian culture, you labeled it that it has a super culture. That was kind of like the way you titled it, right?
Yeah, I think that as believers, we have the opportunity, I guess, and the privilege of seeing the way that God sees the world.
Right.
And he supersedes culture. He is above it. Like, he transcends it.
Because we see, I mean, let's all admit first that for the most part, someone who doesn't know God or has God in their life, the regenerating power of the Holy Spirit, like the possession, mm-hmm. right? Because when we look at these verses in the Bible, when they're speaking of like God's chosen race and royal priesthood, a holy nation, like it says in 1 Peter 2:9, it says a people of his own possession. But when you don't have that, your possession really is your culture, right?
Sure.
Like your identity is wrapped around the culture.
Well, or you could be like rejecting your culture, but either way, you're like it's like too much of a,
right.
It's like magnified in your life.
Sure.
I guess.
And if you were to reject your culture, you would just go to another culture.
You're the rebel. You're the black sheep if you reject your culture. But either way, as Christians, we can transcend our culture. Right. I guess that's why I like that term. Superculture is like that when it says in Philippians 3:20 that our citizenship is in heaven. So every child of God has a culture, mm-hmm. a heavenly culture. That the teachings of Jesus, his mandates, his traditions, what he calls us to do, his language even, that is what we're called to adopt as our super culture that it transcends whatever culture, you know, you were born into.
And so that's really enlightening, right? Like, I think even the listeners, they can recognize, like, even here in this church, Greater Grace, we're so blessed to have such a variety of nationalities around the world here. Even in our local church here in Baltimore, we experience at our international convention or European convention, there's nations from everywhere. It's like, we're like Revelation chapter 22, like experiencing like this incredible heavenly host of just nations and tongues, right? However, isn't there like another side to this that we have to be careful of like where it's like us versus them,
mm-hmm.
right? Like
we
could say that in our superculture, our Christian superculture, that there's no way to cross over or there's no way to accept in.
Mm-hmm.
But like when you look at Jesus as our primary example, let's just use Christ and his life on earth. He being the culture, right? Like he told the Pharisees in John 8, he said, I'm from above and you are from below. I'm from heaven and you are from earth. So I'm going to come down to the earth to show you what this culture of mine is all about, this heavenly culture.
Yeah.
That is completely contrary to like all of your...
He did so many countercultural things.
Yeah.
Right?
And so, then he starts like in a way, like breaking all the rules, you know? And so I think just in a personal experience is like when you follow Christ... And I'm sure a lot of people can relate to this. Like it goes all the way to a place where like, let's just say you become a missionary. Like our producer Sebastian was just saying like, he lived in Africa for 12 years in Togo from 6 to 18, right? To 18. And when his parents told him we're moving back to France, he was upset. You know, like he was like distraught because he's like, this is my little world.
Yeah.
But really, his parents were living in a whole and functioning in a whole different culture that like him as a young adult wasn't quite there to understand, but he would soon discover that his culture was like, this Christian culture was like radical.
Hmm.
Like it was loving and accepting and forgiving. And preaching giving the gospel to whoever they sat with whoever they could sit with. They broke bread with whoever they could. And like for a young guy, like to like suddenly his little culture has to shift. It was an awakening.
Mm-hmm.
And I just was like thinking like, that's so much like Jesus with his disciples, right? they're starting to figure out Jesus, and they're like, okay, this is our culture. This is how we do it. We're going to get up early in the morning. Like, he gets up early in the morning, right? And then, and he's like, now we're plucking corn in the fields on Sunday. Like, this isn't Saturday. This isn't good.
Yeah.
You know, like, he's starting to like he's not conformist.
Yeah.
And I was just thinking, like, yeah, like, our Sebastian's family was like, no, now we're going to move back. Mm-hmm. Like, no, but this was my culture. This was my home. And he's like, no, this is the next thing we're doing. Mm. So really, the culture of a Christian is more like a tent, like we've heard in the past, like described in messages, like, it's not so much uniform, like buildings and structures.
Well, I think I understand what you're saying. I mean, I was thinking also that when you have this idea of like a super culture that transcends, it actually makes you more, more flexible and more open to all the cultures of the world, yeah. You know, like that, when we don't have to defend our culture, you know, like when we lived overseas and people would say, well, aren't Americans this way? Or they'd have some like massive stereotype about American culture. Mm. And, you know, part of you wants to defend it. And I was actually really, I enjoyed the freedom of feeling like I didn't have to defend my American culture. Even sometimes I wanted to, but I would remind myself that what am I here for? I'm here to teach them about this other culture, this heavenly world, this heavenly family that has its own culture. And I don't want to distract from that by being defensive about American culture, you know, like in the scheme of things, the perspective, like we've talked a lot in the past about having that eternal perspective. I think it speaks to this. This is what we're talking about.
So
as Christians, we've got this idea that we need to impart to our kids, which is that there's things you like about this culture or maybe things you don't like, you know, and there's different ways your kids can react, you know, but ultimately we can encourage them to recognize that like we're going, like God is preparing a city for us, a better country for us. That's where we're going. And this idea of being like pilgrims and exiles on the earth and that this is a short period of time helps put that perspective, hopefully helps put that perspective into our kids. And I think that's what I want to ask that question of us today is how practically do you do that with kids? Yeah. How do you get them to be able to kind of step outside of their culture so that they can be aware of other cultures, so that they can be sensitive to them, they can enjoy them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So what would you say that like the order is? I think we wrote a little bit of it down was like we discussed earlier, like know your culture, like just be aware of yourself as parents. What is your culture? And, you know, moving to another culture really helps, right? If you don't have that opportunity, where can you exercise that to like look inside and be like, well, how do I operate on Sunday? How do I operate on the holidays? Or how do I function day to day? So that I can really show my children like what is the true culture. Like I need to know how I operate.
Yeah.
Cause we were saying, like, isn't it true? Like we don't realize how American we are sometimes.
You know what I mean? No, like, right, exactly.
You're like you're at another airport and you start talking and you like realize like I'm the loudest person here. You know what I mean? Or like I'm upset because the small cup of coffee is like this.
Yes.
You know, and it should be like that. You know what I mean? Like should be big.
Yeah.
But knowing that first, being aware as parents first can really like express the next step, which I think is like using our heavenly culture to like nurture, like to be the first one in the door. Right? Like
What do you mean?
Well, like early on when we were, when raising kids, you know, like, I don't think it was, we emphasize Super Bowls or football more than we emphasize going to church on Sunday. Mm-hmm. Like that was like, we thought in our culture that like one thing was more important than another, meaning like we just placed value on certain things or priority on certain things than others. That was like, I remember like a small difference.
Yeah. And I think also it's what you're saying, like just, you know, nothing against the Super Bowl, okay, in football. We don't want to offend anybody.
No, not, but, did I say Super Bowl? I meant Sunday.
No, no, Sunday but, football. But yeah, Sunday football, yeah. But I think it's important to recognize that that's cultural. Like, mm-hmm. pointing out to your kids the things that they do that they have no sense that there's a place in the world where people don't do it this way.
Yeah.
Where people don't think this way. That's what I think is important. Like, as parents, if you haven't already realized that, then think about ways to get yourself there where you've kind of had an opportunity to look, to step outside. And of course, if you actually leave your culture and go to another one, that's an amazing way to get a look at your culture from the outside where you, now you're in a different one and you see that they're doing things differently. They celebrate this holiday this way. They eat this way. They eat whatever. And you get to say, okay, now I've got some perspective, but not everybody can travel, you know, outside of their country. There's other ways to do it. You mentioned already being in a church that's culturally diverse and getting to actually
has a vision for the world. Like,
and also getting to know people, like having real relationships with people who are from other cultures. I recently got to have a really nice lunch date with a friend of mine, and she's Nigeria born and now lives here. And, we always enjoy talking about our cultures, and I love to ask her, like, well, in your culture, like, what do you guys do for weddings? And she kind of walked me through what her wedding was like. And so, and she's from the Christian part of Nigeria, but still, of course, very different. And I just think that it's helped. It just is so refreshing.
Yeah.
I also find that people, who are culturally aware, which I would say my friend is, just because she's coming out of one and into another, they tend to like notice things about your culture that you wouldn't notice. Mm-hmm. So she mentioned one.
She helps us.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it out.
She was talking about that if you were walking down the street and somebody was walking and you saw them trip and stumble, that in her culture, you would immediately go, I'm so sorry. And anybody else around who would see would also go, I'm so sorry. And she said, here, you know, some people would kind of ignore it. They would like, just wouldn't say anything, or they'd say, are you okay?
Yeah.
And she was like, I like that. I like, are you okay? And I was like, why would you say sorry? It wasn't your fault. She was like, I know it's, but you have to say it. It would be so rude if you didn't say it. And so we kind of just like laughed about that because she learned coming to America, don't apologize for something you didn't do, or you're going to be taking blame for something that, you know, someone spills their coffee and you go, I'm so sorry. That's what you should do in Nigeria. If you did that in America, they'd be like, did you knock over my coffee? You know,
is that on you?
Yeah. So anyway, just that, I'm just saying having friendships with people who have a different culture from you and who are fellow believers is so much fun. It's really fun because neither of you have to defend your culture. It's not about which culture is better. You can kind of enjoy each other's cultures.
And again, like we're talking about two Christian friends here.
Yes.
It is a little different when it's not a Christian friend because I would say like it's more comparative. Like I've had those conversations like, well, this is how we make our soup this way. Well, this is how I make my soup that way.
And that's
what
I was saying, that when we lived in Turkey, I never got into those defending my culture things.
We were like,
you can think whatever you want.
You have the best soup. You got the best lamb. Everything's the best here. I love it because it's better than anything else. You know?
Well, not just that, but that it just takes away from the gospel.
Yeah, it takes
and
away
we
from
were
the
like,
real
that the point is the gospel.
And
you know?
What do you think about this? So that's like a really good point. How about like raising, so as we start off with our children, raising God aware or God-centered thinking or consciousness or centeredness versus self-awareness.
Yeah.
First, there's nothing wrong with self-awareness and reflection as long as God's the leader of it. As long as he's the center,
that's a good point.
Sometimes draw the picture of like the cross and then me in the circle. And then we have this other picture of the circle, me, and then the cross is outside the circle.
I'm in the center.
And really, I'm in the center.
Yeah.
So
we want to be God conscious.
Drop by drop, little step by step. Like you can do this in practical ways with your children. And I think it started by inviting people over our house, opening up our door. Like, hey, let's bring this family in. Let's try to, let's have them cook at our house tonight mm-hmm. and show them how they make their dish.
Yeah.
And it turned into this incredible night of exchange. Yeah. Right. And
so then, much, I like the word dignity too, like because of what you just said, if we're God conscious, then what we're doing is we're thinking and we want to be thinking from a perspective of God's design and God's thoughts.
Yes.
And so every person in every single culture, we know God's design and his desire yes. is that they have inherent value. They're made in the image of God and they have such dignity.
You literally just took it right out of my mouth.
Did I?
Amen.
Sweet. Okay. I love
High
it.
High five to that.
Because I love giving dignity to people in yes. any way I can. And if it's, even if like you said, just pouring the love out on their culture, it's just giving dignity to them. And because, I think it's lacking so much.
Because in one sense, if we're working with unbelievers, there's no sense in taking that away.
No.
Like why would I strip what little they have when it comes to their fiber and their being, to benefit myself, right?
Yeah.
But then, like you said, Christians, we should be teaching and we are instilling the core fundamental truth mm-hmm. of intrinsic value.
Yeah.
We have to tell our children, and we have to believe this for ourselves as parents, that every single person has equal value and equal meaning and weight.
That's
in
huge.
God's eyes. He or her is a child, a image bearer of the Almighty.
Yeah.
And like we pass this on to our children, probably the greatest heritage or inheritance we could ever pass on our children. If you want your children to be sensitive, if you want your children to be aware and kind, show them
That's
intrinsic
so
value. And because God has created them that way.
That is a perfect example of the super culture. Like that transcends culture. The intrinsic value that God has placed on every human being.
Yeah.
That transcends all culture.
Yeah.
And it is the foundation to the Christian worldview.
Right. Yes. And then you know what else it does that I just realizing or is coming to my mind is that, you know, like in cultures, we always compare
mm-hmm.
like intrinsic value kind of just sets the bar and lets us all free.
Yes.
Because like God bestowed value on me.
Yeah.
He is the one that
has competition.
Placed the amount being his son, Jesus, of course, but to all of us, we can just rest, put the fingers down from pointing and, or the assumptions and the judgments from shooting out of our minds and mouths and eyes by looks or, you know, slights and just recognize that each and every one of us are identical in the same.
Hmm.
So bring that and then giving
kids pick up on that.
They
I think
do.
Just to,
that's a good
to
point.
Really like hammer it home here. Like, the way that as parents, we don't just talk about this, but the way we treat people.
Yes.
And the way we operate in the world and in our culture,
they
our
watch
kids
it.
Watch and they learn.
Sure do.
They don't, it's not like you say at the dinner table, you need to be culturally aware and they're going to be culturally aware. No, they're going to pick it up from you as you are sensitive, as you are curious about your neighbor's different culture, or as you travel and you take them on a trip, and the way you speak to somebody who looks different from you, sounds different from you, believes different from you.
So many awesome examples.
So many
Jesus
ways.
Doing that.
Like this is how, and I wanted to point out the Apostle Paul also, because I thought about that when we talk about culture and how we can in a way transcend our culture. I immediately thought of Paul because he was this guy who was very culturally diverse. He was like Jewish and trained in the Jewish tradition, but he was also a Roman citizen and he had also the Greek education and all the Greek thought.
Yeah.
And he was the guy who said in 1 Corinthians 9 that he would be all things to all people so that he could win some. Mm. And it's in the context of him basically saying, I'm happy to lay down my culture, lay down my rights completely and be whatever these people need and these people need so that they would know the gospel.
Yes.
And I think that that's what we're talking about. We want kids who enjoy culture, right? We love decorating Christmas cookies or watching that one movie or Super Bowl parties. But what we love more than that is loving our neighbor.
And maybe laying down our culture.
And yeah, like putting it aside. I mean, our kids, I hope and I do believe that our kids will recognize that the sacrifices that we made as a family to move to another country and out of their home culture and away from the things that they knew, that it gave them an opportunity to more accurately understand this like transcendent aspect of the gospel.
Yeah, like it's better to give than to receive.
Yeah, and right? Also like for a kid to meet somebody, like for our kids, they've met Indian kids from our church in India, or they've heard from an Indian pastor preach the gospel message. So people who don't look like them, don't sound like them, don't eat like them, you know,
don't
all these things.
Don't use forks or knives.
And
it's amazing.
Yet, what is the same?
Yes.
The message of Christ is the same. It's the same sound. And that is so beautiful because then we get this idea of the unity in diversity that we will only truly see in heaven, right? Like you mentioned in Revelations that from every tribe, every tongue, every nation, and they will all be around the throne and they will all be worshiping the same one true God. That's what we want our kids to have a sense of.
Yes.
While they're walking this earth.
It's like this. Here's a good example of this. Cause as you're speaking, it's like you eat a dish and you go, it could have some more salt in it, right? Like how many people have you been around where they say something like that? It's too sweet. Mm-hmm. This dessert's just too sweet. It's too creamy.
Yeah.
It needs to be more lemon in it. I cannot stand that.
Yeah.
You know why? Cause it's
like just
you're
enjoy
saying,
what it is.
You're saying that your culture and the way you do things is better than the way they do things.
Mm-hmm.
And
no,
I'm like,
I didn't know that about you.
No, but that is the litmus test. I really think it's like, it's such a test to you as a
just
person.
Enjoy
like,
it.
Just be thankful, right? Like just be happy with what you get.
I mean, sometimes things really do need salt, but okay. No,
but
no,
you know what I mean saying. Though? No, in the context of
I hear
comparing.
You. Yes. I know what you're thinking of because
and
in
I know,
Turkey.
I know, don't go there. So the reason why I say that is everyone's flawed.
Yeah.
Right. And that's something we're
in every culture.
We
is
have
flawed.
To teach our kids this, that they need to know the culture is flawed.
Yes.
Period.
Yes, yes, yes.
Jesus is not flawed. He said, I'm from above and you're from below.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, we're all from below here. You know what I mean? Like we're all from this earth created by you. You are from above. Okay. Now what do you have to say?
Mm-hmm.
And no matter what you say is just right. And whatever you say is right.
Yeah. That's
and
good.
It cannot be twisted. Okay. So, and then you said this earlier, but for our children to learn how that it's okay to be critical and curious.
Yeah.
Both.
Yeah.
So
I like
critical
those words.
And curious with culture.
Because you used this word earlier, you said freedom. And I think that's what we want to give our kids as Christian parents is the freedom to be critical of their culture and also curious about other cultures.
And vice versa.
Yeah, and vice versa. Right. Like there's just freedom in general because like we said, there's no competition.
Yeah.
There's no, is this one better than this one? What a joke. No, we're way past that now. We can enjoy. I can say, you know what? This is one thing I don't like about American culture. I know I have things that I've thought about and I've recognized I don't love this.
I do not
subscribe to this part of my culture and it usually has to do with my faith.
Yeah.
And what I believe God
in your
intends
heavenly culture,
in my heavenly culture, that supersedes. And then I love going into other cultures and enjoying that culture instead of being like, oh, this is different. Or if there's a competitiveness there that I'm going to say, we do it better, you know, or this one area, we do it better. They should do it this way. All of that is so like, it's such a waste of time. And it's so like, earthly compared to what we could be doing, which is encouraging people, sharing the gospel with people, loving people. These are things that, they're worth our analysis.
Yeah.
And I think as Christians, we get to be freed up from our culture. We get to kind of take a deep breath of fresh air, like culture's down here and we kind of put our heads above and fresh, pure air that is like God's truth. And it helps us to show our kids how they can walk through life and be critical and curious. I think they're both really important aspects of how to navigate, because otherwise you're going to have, like you said, conformists. You're going to have, they're just going to want to fit the mold. And one thing that for sure will be required of a Christian in this world is that we will have to be countercultural at some point.
Yep.
We are not following the crowd.
Yes.
So we want to raise kids, not just to be aware of other cultures, but to recognize within themselves.
You got a decision to make.
I can swim upstream. I'm not jumping off that cliff with everybody else.
Right.
You know?
And that leads me to our next point, which is learning to explain to your children the roles and effects that both God play and also how the devil affects and plays his role and in culture, right? Yeah. Like God,
for sure.
We were saying like he superseded culture. He gave us his son. His son came to the earth. History was never again the same. Jesus changed everything.
Yeah.
He is setting, he liberated and set us free. And he's giving us like the greatest door, being the door to a culture that has been freely given to us. And it is affecting the world today, no doubt. And then we have the devil, and we do see that in his limited ability, not all powerful, not everywhere present, and not all knowing.
Yep.
But as a created being, he uses culture as a net.
Yep.
To gather people, to blind them, to move them, to turn them, right? Like he says, jump, people jump.
Yeah.
You know, he says, like, people like.
Yeah.
The spirit of this world, the zeitgeist, and the devil, we can see, we examine it, and through human history, we just ponder for a minute World War II and see the culture that came over and the effects the devil had on that culture in the West and in the East. It was, no one was not touched by the devil's, his wiles, like his plans to use. And I think it's so important to just kind of like expose that in simple ways to children as they grow, like talking about, well, how can this group of people kind of like follow this culture or this religion within the culture? Because that's something that we didn't talk about, but religion is also within culture, or culture is within religion.
Yeah.
How are those so strongly opposed to, for example, our faith?
Yeah.
And that leads to an amazing conversation. And I think both we can talk about how God is in it. And then how the devil is really like,
well, I think it's
trying to exercise.
It's like there's God's design that you can kind of find the threads of it in a culture, right? And sometimes it's been warped. And then you start to see God, like how, what God intended for good, like family. Family's just a great example of that. If you look at, you know, I'm thinking Korean culture, we know about Turkish culture and America. If you look at American, Korean, Turkish culture and how they view family, very different.
Yeah.
How they treat their elders, how they treat their children, how much pressure is put on children, with school and who they marry, right? All of these things. Family is God's design. He intended for it to be a beautiful place of support, unconditional love, structure, discipline. Those are God's design. And you see elements of that in all culture. But then you also see where there can be a warping and a twisting of that. Usually, you know, the pendulum is swung too far this way.
Yeah.
In some cultures, there's so much respect for your elders that a young person has no freedom to make their own personal choices. They don't get to choose what they study, who they marry. Over here, the pendulum swing, no respect for elders whatsoever. And where people are making the decisions in their youth with no regard for the hard-earned wisdom of their elders, right?
Yeah.
So that's just a good, small, you know, one example of how you can see this, you know, godly design within a culture and then a warping. But then I also think there's some things that are just neutral, right? You know, like Christmas cookie decorating. Like that's that's neutral. It's wonderful. I like it. But do all Christians who celebrate Christmas have to decorate cookies that are cut out in shapes of stars and snowmen? No, they don't. That's neutral. Right. I can enjoy it. I can ask, what do you do? And so that type of conversation with your kids, I think the good and the bad, like the godly and the kind of perverse, you could say, or the warped, and then the neutral, and help your kids to identify those, kind of enjoy those conversations. You know, this is how we do this thing, but you know, in this country, they do it this way.
And then also, like, just thinking about that as far as like where God plays his roles, and we see it, we teach it. And then we see also where, like, even to current events, I think it's important that we show, like, you know, guys, the devil's hand could be in this, like in this, like wars, the wars of the world today, you know, like our kids are like aware of the, the different wars that are happening today. For example, our kids are in middle school. So like we have a conversation about that. Like, is God a God of war? Is the devil a God of, or a small g, of war? Where do these two people fit in when you compare them? Not people, but beings, you know, like look at them and compare the two and see like what's the heart behind that. And then lastly, I think another thing to also talk about, which is like a really big, deep conversation, but maybe as they get a little older, I think introducing them to the honor shame culture of the East versus like our Western guilt, guilt centered culture. I think it's worth like at least learning about it a little bit. Being aware of it in your own life, and how you can experience guilt in a Western culture. Or if you're from an Eastern culture, the honor shame culture, those are very prevalent, and they might have a friend that operates that way in an honor shame culture. That's not of your guilt.
Yeah. I mean, that's the type, that's the type of, cultural, like that's, those are deep topics that we're not talking about Christmas cookies anymore. Right.
This is deep stuff.
And I think that's really good, because if you start with the simple things with your kids when they're little, identifying different cultural things and calling it out for what it is, like, this is just one way of doing it.
Yeah.
If you start that habit when they're kids, they're going to be able to critically think on these deeper levels, like what you're talking about, which is how these are like the underpinnings that all these other, you know, more superficial cultural things come from, but they stem from these things. And so I think if you start simple and you enjoy the discussions with your kids, and you let them be curious and let them be critical and just kind of talk about it in that way, then you're going to be like equipping them to think even more deeply and profoundly.
I think that's a great way to like end this, is like, we are trying to give them tools, and there's a lot of great ways to do it. Use your church, use your Bible, be a student, examine yourself in your own culture, be aware of your own culture and the effects it might have on your children. Right. See that the super culture is worth living for, fighting for, being present, being everywhere in your life, saturate yourself in the super culture, be free in that. And then like really like allow the cultures to come in that of or that are around you. Nothing to be like afraid of. Do you know what I mean? Like, sit down with that family. You know, I remember like bringing Muslim families into our home and how important it was. Like, it really was a big deal. Bringing different folks and sitting down with them, I think that really made a huge difference. And like you said, children are watching, they're observing. And how we give each person that we come across on our day dignity.
I love that.
Is just, it will, we will only begin to see as we grow, the effect it made in their lives.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's all the time we have for today. So thank you so much for joining us. And don't forget to subscribe wherever you watch or listen, YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and more. And tune in as we keep talking about culture and being cross-cultural Christians.
Yes.
Thanks.